A recent study shows medical errors are likely the third leading cause of death in the U.S. The findings by researchers at Johns Hopkins University were controversial, but one of the takeaways has been that the healthcare system could take lessons from aviation. The airline industry has seen a dramatic increase in safety, including fewer crashes since adopting a set of standardized safety practices. As Patty White reports, Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor has spent 4 years integrating aviation-inspired protocols in an effort to improve safety and reduce medical errors.
One of the first places where EMMC applied those aviation protocols is where the stakes are often the highest, the operating room.
Our first patient is a gentleman who had a fractured dislocation of his elbow about 9 months ago.
Orthopedic surgeon David Carmack is going to remove and tighten some of the hardware embedded in the patient's arm from a previous reconstruction. It's a pretty straightforward surgery. Still, there's room for error.
Room for error in orthopedics, especially, is laterality, you know, the correct side, left and right.
Operating on the wrong part of the body, the wrong patient, even doing the wrong procedure is rare in hospitals, but it does happen. To prevent mistakes, EMMC started working with a company 4 years ago called LifeWings, which takes best practices from the aviation industry and adapts them to healthcare. One is a team huddle right before launching into surgery. It's called a timeout.
Are we all ready for timeout?
When the charge nurse calls the timeout, everyone in the OR stops, faces each other, and reviews what they're about to do. Dr. Carmack takes the lead.
So what we're going to do is do a revision of his internal fixation, and we'll take some hardware out. I don't anticipate any critical events or any critical blood loss.
Timeouts themselves aren't new. They became a quality standard in 2004. But subsequent studies have found that timeouts really haven't done much to prevent surgeons from operating on the wrong arm or leg. Part of the problem, say observers, is because the timeouts aren't standardized. That's why EMMC sought help from LifeWings.
No drug allergies that we're aware of. He has had
a checklist posted on the OR wall lists the information that teams review before every surgery about the procedure, the patient's allergies, their medications, and it ends with a crucial statement by the lead doctor.
So that completes the timeout, and the expectation is everybody will speak up with any safety concerns or suggestions throughout the case.
That statement is important because it emphasizes the principle that everyone on the team is responsible for the patient's safety. It may sound like a no-brainer, but the chief medical officer at EMMC, Dr. James Rochek, says sometimes top-down healthcare culture can make it hard for people to speak up.
It's not unusual for someone who might be a technician not to feel that it is appropriate or the right environment for them to ask a question to a nurse or a physician just because of that difference in status, different in hierarchy.
Before, the doctors had more, like, maybe not control is the right word, but more influence.
Steve Letalian is a surgical technician.
And we feel that we have more of an influence now that they want to have our input, so it's not so scary to say something.
After working to empower employees and improve communication in the OR, EMMC started adapting LifeWings protocols in other areas.
I'm here for 521A.
Okay.
Is the patient informed that they're going?
Yes.
Excellent. My name is Frank Connolly. I'm a transporter here at Eastern Maine Medical Center.
In a typical shift, Connolly will transport between 25 and 35 patients to different areas of the hospital for x-rays, testing, and other procedures. It may seem relatively straightforward, but
handoffs are one of the biggest times for safety issues to occur.
Andrea Huntley is the program manager for LifeWings at EMMC.
It can be anything from, you know, just not knowing that the patient can't, you know, stand up, risking a potential fall,
to failing to check a urinary catheter.
That, you know, could be full, and if that tilts back, that can cause urinary tract infections.
So when Frank Connolly picks up a patient for an echocardiogram, he asks the staff nurse 7 questions, which are also printed on a business-sized card he keeps in his pocket for quick reference.
How's the mobility?
He can walk to the stretcher if you pull the stretcher into the room.
Connolly says those standard questions ensure nothing slips through the cracks.
We're not giving, you know, excellent care to one patient and then, you know, mediocre care to the next.
Though it's working well now, Connolly says LifeWings had a turbulent start. It took a few attempts to create an effective communication protocol, and some staffers were slow to get on board.
I guess I would consider myself somewhat of a resistor in the beginning.
Back in the OR, Dr. David Carmack says he bought in after he had a near miss that was caught by a new young surgical tech.
Learning about near misses and actual problems and complications that really are preventable, I kind of made that decision that there's no logical reason for me not to be 100% behind this.
After EMMC implemented LifeWing safety protocols in the OR in 2013, it recorded 10 surgical errors. The next year, it had edged downward to 9. Last year, it dropped to 1. Carmack says these tools aren't revolutionary. They're common sense. What makes them work is they're part of a set process that everyone follows. And the protocols are always being updated. The next change, he says, will be ensuring that EMMC's post-operation debrief is incorporated at the end of every surgery. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.